Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for your help, Holy Spirit, that I will deliver the word how it is in your mind, and your church will be blessed in Jesus' name. So our topic today is, I am the resurrection and the life. And our text is from the book of John 11, 25 and 26. It reads, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, Jesus asks Martha a very crucial question here. Do you believe this? Jesus asks that question because we as his followers must know and believe that he is the resurrection and the life. He asks this because our faith is based on this very fact. And also, another reason that I found out that Jesus asked this question is because what he said is more like a paradox. How can you die and yet live? You know, it's not very straightforward. It's kind of contradictory that you die and you live. So physically speaking, it would be a bit difficult to understand and also to believe that something will normally death is like the end. It ends and it starts. It's so confusing. That is why Jesus took his time to talk about this resurrection and the life. And that's the basis of our salvation. I want us to look at it in 1 Peter 1:3. He said, I'm reading from NLT. He said, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. How and why? Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. So the reason why we are born again is because Jesus rose from the dead. So the resurrection of Jesus was part of God's mysteries to establish the new creation. And this was done before the foundation of the world. So that's why it's a mystery. It's kind of like, when I was thinking about it, what came to my mind is that, let's say, after I got married, there's something that I want to keep hidden from my kids. And I agreed with my wife, and we hid it in the foundation of our house before we built it. And after then, we now give birth to the kids. There's no way Adiel will know about it. It's totally a mystery. So that's why, because of the importance of this subject of resurrection and life, God had to settle it even before the world was created. Yeah? Let's see it from the Bible. In Revelation 13:8, it said, and all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. It's talking about the end. But I just want to pick out something there. They are the ones whose names are not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. So it brings us to the topic of death. The Lamb that was killed, that was slain before the world. But because there's no way we can talk about resurrection without talking about death. Yeah? So I have a brief talk about death. I said death is a spirit, yeah? It gained access to humanity through Adam. It is our enemy, and we do not have control over it. But death is not the end. Let me read from Ecclesiastes 8:8 to buttress what I'm saying. So Ecclesiastes 8:8 said, none of us can hold back our spirit from departing. None of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. There is no escaping to that obligation, that dark battle. And in the face of death, wickedness will certainly not rescue the wicked. Yeah? So, I don't know why a lot of people are afraid of death, or they don't want to talk about death, but It is it's something that is compulsory. Everybody must, that unless you're Enoch. Everybody will die someday. But we don't have the control over it. We don't know the day it will be. We don't know when it will be, on how it will be, and all that. Although some people, there's something that there's a technology in Africa, I think is also all over the world, but maybe because of culture, people may not know. There's a technology in Africa where people enter into covenant with death, and when it's time for them to die, they can exchange that debt with somebody else. They can give somebody else in exchange for it. And it's shocking that I saw it in the Bible, actually. I saw in the Bible where it said that every covenant with debt shall be disannulled. Have you seen it before? Yeah. Yes. So I used to think, but how is this possible? Before my mom passed, we were really close, and she shared a lot of things with me. I've heard about it before, but she shared with me about, as in practical, that she saw it with one of her old uncles. So the man in our place is called, the word, if I literally translate it, it means to tie your head. To tie your head. Yeah? Yes. So what they do, after they do all the things they do, they can live up to 120, 130 before they die, but they will decide the day they will die. What happens is that they get sick, they are supposed to die. They will use one of their grandchildren or one of their children, and the person will die in their stead, and they will continue living. Yeah? Yes. So that man got struck by a car. Yeah? And this is it should be maybe in the 40s. It's a very long time ago, because my mom was a little child then. So she said that when he got struck by a car, he was very, very, very old, as a very old man then. And there was no good hospital facilities to help him and all that, to the point that the man started getting rotten while alive. There's no way he should be alive. There is no way he should be alive, but he was still talking. So he called his first son and told him that there's no need of, you know, me continuing like this. What I want you to do is to climb to the roof. There's something you will see there. Bring it down. Keep it on the floor and pour water on it. And he did that. Immediately he poured water on it. The man stopped breathing. So I just wanted to say that death is a spirit. Why I said it is because I said death is a spirit. So it's a spirit, you can actually engage with it. Praise God.
You're blowing our Western mind.
But you will be shocked, because what came to my mind is that you don't know about it because of your culture. People live individualistic lives here. Because Africa is more communal, that's why people know. There are people that engage in such things here. There's people that understand those technologies and are doing it, but you may never know, because you don't get it. It's rude to pry into other people's lives. Yeah? So I believe seriously that it's here, and people know it, and people practice it, and people do all those things. Yeah? So this is to establish that death is a spirit. The scriptures also backs this. Yeah? It gained ascent to humanity through Adam. I've read in Ecclesiastes to tell you that we don't have control over it. And that leads me to the next question. What does this tell us about Jesus and our relationship with Jesus and all that? So having established this fact that humankind is held by the power of the fear of death, we need to explore the person of Jesus and his claims of being the resurrection and the life. And how does it affect us? Why was Jesus so interested in getting the disciples to know and also to believe that he is the resurrection and the life? So there are two scriptures that I just want to pick up because of our time to explain this. And that will be John 5, 25 to 26 and Hebrews 2, 14 to 15. John 5, 25 to 29 said, "And I assure you I'm reading with NLT, that the time is coming, indeed is here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, underline Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man, underline Son of Man. The first reference was Son of God. The second reference now is Son of Man. Don't be surprised indeed. The time is coming when all the dead in their grave, underline the grave, I want to talk on these things, will hear the voice of the Son of God and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. Let's look at what we have just read. He said, I assure you, time is coming, and that time is now. Yeah? That the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and will live. I believe strongly that what Jesus was talking about here is that in him, he has the power to give life, because he is the resurrection and the life. And the dead that he's talking about is all humanity. Thank you very much. The dead that he's talking about is all humanity. The death that came in through Adam. Spiritual death. And when they hear the voice, that's what God has called us to do when we go out and talk to people about Jesus. That's why it's very important that people should get born again. They should leave the realm of death and come into the realm of life. Yeah? So that's what Jesus was talking about here, that they will hear this, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen, who pay attention, will live. Because, why? Because the Father has given, that's why he said that those that believe, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. He's talking about being born again here. But now, after that, he said the time is coming and is now. That's the present. But there's another time that is coming that is not now. Let me read it. He said from 27, and he has given him power to judge. Yeah? Don't be surprised. Indeed, he's talked about another time that is coming that is not now, when the dead that are held by the power of the grave will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they will rise again. And Jesus did not get this by, it wasn't rigged. It wasn't because of his position as God. It wasn't because he's the Son of God. He earned that title, the resurrection and the death. It took him something. He didn't just become. How? That's what the Bible was showing us here. I said in 27, he said, and he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. The first one, he called him the Son of God. This one, he called him the Son of Man. Let's read Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 so that we understand it better. Hebrews 2, from 14, it said, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, and the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only that's death. Only in this way could he set free all who live their lives as slaves of fearing to die. That is one of the things that I want us to take out of this teaching today, that we should understand what Jesus did and not be afraid of death. Death is a spirit. We should not be afraid of death. Yeah? That's what Jesus... And there's something he does in you, you can confront anything. If you come to that level where you don't fear death, you can actually be bold. He said that the righteous is as bold as a lion. In the face of, you know, there's something, one book I read a long time ago, Smith Wigglesworth. He was talking about a woman that had cancer and was at the the ending part of our life. He said, if you come into that place that there's an awe that that sickness carries, that he was talking as a healer. He said, if you're still learning, if you're a rookie in the business, if you enter, you will run away. When you see it, you will run. It will intimidate you. You will be afraid in the face of death. You will run away. But because he understood that he carries him, that is the resurrection and the life, that when he comes before those things, he talks to it with such boldness. Praise God. So we can, on this subject, because of our time, we can get more insight from what Paul taught the Corinthians church in 1 Corinthians 15. If you read the whole chapter, and I will encourage us to study this chapter so that we will discuss it more during the community group. Yeah, so that I will not, if we start looking at it today, we won't go. So Paul talked about the origin of death there. He talked about how death will be destroyed ultimately. He shared that death is not the end. He talked about the process and about our undying bodies. He talked about sin being the power behind death and all that. There is a whole different technology of its own. During our community group, we'll look into these things and all and see it. Also, there are some scriptures that are brought out here about the resurrection and the life. When it's uploaded on the website, you will see more of them. You can pick out those scriptures. I want to round up now. What does it tell you about us and our relationship with Jesus? From the text, the question Jesus asked, you will notice that it was especially important to Jesus that we understand and believe that he is the resurrection and the life. So we will not fear death because he has dealt with it. Jesus wants us to look at the emphasis and how deliberate he was in dealing with the matter, and then realize what he's telling us about this subject. Yeah? Three times in the scriptures, Jesus chose to interact with people that was dead. I say chose, because what God does, whenever you read the Bible, is not a coincidence. He knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah? And in these three examples, he increasingly dealt with more complex cases, which climaxed with Lazarus just before the end of his ministry. Because Lazarus' case happened just shortly before Jesus went into Jerusalem and he died. Yeah? So he knew what he was doing. He was just picking it. The first one was in Mark 5, 35-42. I won't read it because we don't have all that time. It was Jairus' daughter. They called Jesus and they spoke to him and said, oh, master, my daughter is sick and all that. And immediately, he went there and he raised the girl. Yeah? The second one, he did not go immediately to go and raise somebody. He went for somebody that was being taken. He was already inside the casket, was being taken to be buried. That is the widow's son. And he stopped them on the way and called. He said, remember, he said, they will hear my voice and they will live again. He was doing this for his disciples. He was doing it for us. And he stopped, he touched the casket and said, young man, stand up. And the guy got up and started talking and he gave him back to his mom. But if you read that account, you notice that Jesus was moved by compassion. Because we don't understand these things. That's what made him, in Lazarus' case, he cried. We don't get it. He taught it and called the young man to stand up, and the young man stood up. But now in Lazarus' case, they sent for him, but he was deliberate. Jesus chose, because he knew a time will come when somebody like Sonny will be alive in 2000 and something, and they will have technologies to verify whether somebody is dead or alive. Now, Jairus' daughter can actually be in coma. Imagine if Jesus did not do Lazarus' case today. Some people will tell us that, no, who told you the girl died? How are you sure? The girl maybe it's just 2 hours, he came there and prayed. You know, that time, because they don't have the technology, the girl may not have died. I was doing a research on what can make people die. There are some drugs that you will take, and it will shut down all your body activities, and it will look as if you're dead. So what if he was just in that state, and Jesus now came and did... And okay, let's say he now increased it and went for the young man that was already dead for some days and was being taken to the grave. Yes, they also said that there are some things that can happen and make people stay in that state for a day. Yes, okay, what if that's, they would have disputed it also. But in Lazarus's case, they sent message, and when they came to Jesus, maybe it was a day's journey to Bethany. So from Bethany to where he was, they came to him. By the time they got to him, Lazarus was already dead. And when he told him, he knew he was dead. But he chose to stay another 2 days and now take another 1 day journey, making it 4 days. And let me show you what happens when, because I took my time to look at these things, let me show you what happens when somebody dies. The first thing that happens is that the heart stops beating. The body cells are deprived of oxygen and they begin to die. The cells within the body begins to die. Blood is drained from the circulatory system and pools in the lower places due to gravity. Depending on how the body is, if it's lying down, if it's standing, however you put it, the blood drains, yeah? The muscles begin to stiffen, commonly known as rigor mortis. By 24 hours, the body has lost all its heat. By 36 hours, the body loses that rigor mortis and becomes soft again. By 72 hours, the body is already decomposing. That's the truth. If you just left it, yeah? And then there was no technology to preserve and all that. But what happens by 22 hours is that if we look down into the cellular biology or the tissues, what happens there? The bacteria in the body begins to break down the tissues. And that is decomposing. The decomposing tissues takes a horrific look and smell and discharges greenish liquid. Sorry for this thing, but I just had to do it. Yeah, I just had to look into it. So the tissue releases hydrogen sulfide and methane, as well as other gases. A horrible smell is emitted. Insects and animals are attracted to the body, and they will consume it. Yeah? This is at 72 hours. But Jesus added another 24 on top of that. So that in this time and age, no scientist can prove, or there's no way you can dispute it. And the family of Lazarus, they would have been very popular because of how people came, and also because of Mary. Yeah, Jesus waited another 24 hours before he came, so that we would. That was why when he was talking to Martha, Martha said, "Yes, Lord, I understand. Yeah, I know you're talking about the resurrection. Yeah, at the end, I know he will rise." No, this is the resurrection himself standing in front of you. And he has said it before in John, when he has said it in chapter 5, telling them that I can call the dead and they will rise. And that is what he will do on that day. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talked about it. He will give a shout, and the dead in Christ, that's those that are sleeping, will rise again. That is our hope. That we are indestructible. We cannot be hopeless in any way. We cannot mourn too much. Because those that believe in Christ, they are alive. They cannot die. Though they shed this body, this mortal. That when Paul started talking in Galatians, he said, for me to die is gain. God showed him some things. There are some things he saw. But I should be here because of you. Praise God. He did this to clear any doubts that he is the resurrection and the life. He did it so we can be bold to tell people about him. We should boldly declare to the world that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We should boldly declare and show the principalities and powers that we operate in a supernatural life. And that he has the power to make good every situation, no matter how bad it looks. There is nothing worse than being dead, but Jesus can bring back to life any dead situation. If only they will embrace him as their Lord and Savior. He will give them life. And in this life, even in this life and in the life to come, Jesus is life. Praise God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this word. We believe, we know that you are the resurrection and the life. May you help us that in every aspect of our lives, we will walk boldly. We will address situations. We will address conflicting issues and cause it to bow to the power of the resurrection. Thank you for what you have done for us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.